Welcome to today's podcast, Casting Down Idols. This is the podcast where we talk about addictions and recovery from a biblical point of view. I'm your host, Pastor Mike Dixon, and I'm addressing the problem of addictions from my own personal experience, but most importantly, from a biblical perspective. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, gambling, or overeating, or whatever struggle you may be facing, I want you to know there's hope for change. It's my prayer that through this podcast, you'll pick up some tools and encouragement that will enable you to live addiction-free. I've been clean and sober now for 31 years, and you can too. So let's learn, grow, let's encourage one another on this road called recovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This is Pastor Mike Dixon, your host on the podcast, Casting Down Idols. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode today. Also, if you've not done so already, if you would go and leave us a positive review, if you listen to it by way of iTunes, you can leave us a 5-star rating. If you feel led to do so, that'll help us reach more people with this message of recovery. We've got folks that are listening in Australia, United Kingdom, in the Philippines, Brazil, New Zealand, Africa, Canada, and of course, all over the United States. I want to thank you so much for listening. I want to encourage you to drop me an email. Let me know if this podcast is a blessing to you. Maybe you've got a suggestion, maybe concerning a topic you'd like for us to cover as we talk about addiction from a biblical perspective. My email address is posted on the host page for this podcast, but it's pastormike@obcbaptist.org. pastormike@obcbaptist.org. And again, you can check the host page for this podcast and you can find my contact information there. I would love to hear from you. If there's something I can do as far as praying for you about a certain need, I'd be glad to join you there as well. Today, we're going to be talking about goal setting and recovery. Now, hold on. Don't cut it off yet. I know that doesn't sound too exciting, but I want to show you biblically today in these next few minutes how setting goals in our recovery and the direction that we want to go in life, how that really is a very biblical discipline that we need to practice in our lives. At Oakdale Baptist Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, where I currently serve as senior pastor, we are just now finishing up a series in the book of Nehemiah. And God called Nehemiah to go to the southern kingdom of Judah and rebuild the walls around the holy city of Jerusalem. Now, I know Nehemiah had to have goals set that he was going to reach to bring honor and glory to God. I think about Noah building the ark. He had goals. He had a big ship to build that God told him to do, and in obedience, he built that ship exactly the way that God had instructed him to. Noah had goals. I think Joseph must have had goals, even as God constantly, continually intervened in his life to raise him to that position of power in Egypt, where God would use him not only to save Joseph's family, but to save the whole known world of the day. In Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those who are hasty surely to poverty." The Bible teaches we should not be hasty in the way that we live our lives. We need to be very careful as far as the choices that we make in life and the decisions that we make in life. We need to ask God to give us wisdom and discernment so we'll make the right choices and the right decisions. You've probably heard it often said that our future really, for the most part, is determined by decisions and choices that we make. Now, I praise God that God is a God who's able to override those bad choices and bad decisions that we make. In fact, we serve a God who's even able to redeem our past. Did you realize that? That's how big and great God is. And so ultimately, I give glory to God. It encourages me. It lifts my heart today when I think about the gravity of decisions that I make. But when I ponder the fact God's in control of it all. And so I need to seek Him in all that I do. What kind of goals do you have for your life? I mean, what do you want to see happen 5 years from now? What do you want to see happen in your life 20 years from now? How about 50 years from now? How about throughout all eternity? And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about long-term goals, but then I'm going to be talking about short-term goals too. I believe our number one goal, our overwhelming goal in life, in fact, throughout all eternity, ought to be in the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where Paul writes, and he says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Do all for the glory of God. in our Life Ministry, which is a Christ-centered addiction recovery ministry. We meet every Tuesday night here in Rocky Mount. In our Life Ministry, we often talk about our bullseye, and I'll draw a big target up on the board, and we talk about how everyone is aiming for something in life. What is it that really determines why we choose what we choose and the way that we make our decisions? What is the motivating factor at the root of it all? And for a lot of people, it's just personal happiness. They just go through life thinking whatever's going to make me happy. That's how they really choose to decide and make choices in their life. But God's created you for so much more. In fact, when he says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God, that ought to be our eternal goal. That ought to be the finish line. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what I want to see unfold in my life. I want to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God, what does that mean? Well, I believe if you're going to bring glory to God, you have to acknowledge the greatness of God through the way that you live your life. In fact, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, from the Hebrew language, the English word glory is translated from a word that means dignity, honor, praise, and worship. And so I want to give dignity to God. I want to give honor to God. I want to give praise and worship to God. And when you put those words together and you think about what's at the root as far as a definition for the word glory, it means to acknowledge God's greatness and give him honor by praising and worshiping him. Not just because of what he does, but mainly because of who he is. He alone is worthy of our honor and our praise and to be worshiped by us. God alone is worthy. Now the question arises, how do we accomplish this goal in our lives? How do we go about living our life in a way that's going to bring glory to God? Well, let's see if we can answer that question by examining another passage. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 28 and 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 28, it says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." One way we bring glory to God is simply by our giving. Three times in those two verses, we read the English word give, as well as the word bring and the word come. Those verbs tell us to do something. They're action words. They're verbs. We're to give God glory by bringing an offering to him. And what is that offering we're supposed to bring? I love Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." The offering you should bring to God is the offering of yourself in full surrender to him. You know, you've got to understand your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so maybe somebody listening to this episode today, you just up to this point, maybe you've kind of felt like, well, it's my life. I'm going to live my life ever how I want to live my life. But you've been redeemed. God has purchased your life back from the enemy. You're not going to hell anymore. You're going to heaven. And so now you're a servant, you're a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's purchased you. You belong to him. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can belong to God. Once again, we can be in his family. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God." So we see that phrase again, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My friend, you've got to come to a point in your life where you realize and you confess that you really do not know what is best for your life. But God does. You surrender your life, your body, your all to his will. You need to surrender and you need to determine that you're going to live your life with the goal of glorifying God. And that means that you agree with God. You submit to God. You live in obedience to God. And so agree with God that you need him, first of all, that you're a sinner. Apart from him, you have no hope. submit to God, and I'm talking about your will, your plans, your dreams, your all. Be obedient to God in everything that He commands you. And so agree, submit, and obey. And by the way, as we talk about goals today, there's a difference between dreams and goals. Dreams may include something that you'd like to see happen in your life. Dreams may just kind of be a general overall thing that you'd like to see happen. But goals, break it down. Goals have to have a timeline. Goals have to have specific points where you can know you're moving towards your overall goal. And so dreams are not goals. Goals are not dreams. Two very different things. Well, my goal is to bring honor and glory to God. I'm telling God, Lord, I agree with you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to be obedient to you. I want to walk in obedience with you. Jesus said, it's recorded in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. My greatest goal in my life needs to be to express my love for the Lord through the manner in which I live my life. I desire to bring him glory. You know, I challenge you today to determine right now, that's going to be the goal that you're going to aim for. That's going to be your bullseye to bring glory to God. So that's where we begin today in this discussion about setting goals in our recovery. If you're going to walk in soberness, if you're going to stay clean, if you're going to live out the abundant life that Christ offers you, then you've got to make that aim, that goal for your life, the most important thing. It will not happen by accident. You don't get to 6 months recovery and clean. You don't get to 6 years recovery and clean by accident. But through discipline, diligence, setting goals, one step at a time, one day at a time, one victory at a time. And none of us, my friend, have arrived perfectly, me included. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Even the Apostle Paul said, I'm not bragging. I'm not saying that I have perfectly arrived. The Apostle Paul would even admit, I am a work in process. God is still changing me. I've got to continually put the past in the past and press forward to the call of God in Christ Jesus. That verse says that Paul was reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What things are you reaching forward to? You know, it's very difficult to realize your goals if you're not clear on what those goals are. Also, you must identify your goals in order to measure your progress towards fulfilling those goals. I want you to really pause, and I really want you to consider your answer to these two questions I'm getting ready to ask you before we go any further today. Two questions. You just think about what's the answer. First question is this. What is it exactly that you're trying to achieve in life? Think about it. I mean, what is it that you really want to achieve in your lifetime? The second question is this. What is it that you're working towards? What is it that you're working towards? You know, three common answers I hear very often are, well, I just want to be sober. I want to repair my family relationships. I want to have more stability in my life. I desire to become productive again. The key is to break those goals down into smaller, more manageable goals that you can begin to reach for even right now. And so think about your goals right now. And some of you may say, well, I'm listening to this podcast. I want to be clean. I want to be sober. I want to break out of substance use disorders. I don't want to be an addict anymore. I don't want to be an alcoholic anymore. Well, that's like a long-term goal. How are you going to get there? What are your short-term goals? Like, I'm going to stay clean today. That would be a short-term goal towards that long-term goal of being sober and being clean. I'm going to stay clean today. I'm going to stay clean this week. I'm going to be sober this month, this year. You see, the short-term goals become long-term goals. Maybe a goal that you have, maybe that you should have, is that you're going to reconcile strained relationships. That's a longer goal. But how are you going to go about that? You can break it down and you can ask yourself, how am I going to accomplish this in my life? Maybe you've got the goal to better yourself. I believe you ought to have goals to improve yourself, to learn, to grow. Education, training. You need some support meetings that you attend on a regular basis as a goal in your life. Listen, by the way, when you reach those goals, celebrate them. Celebrate them. Recognize them. They're positive, godly achievements in your life. As you've been one day clean or 1 week clean or 1 month clean or whatever the case may be, celebrate those milestones in your life and those accomplishments in those victories because there's something to celebrate. Now, in setting your goals, let me give you a word of advice. I think this will help you. First of all, make sure that you set your goals to be positive goals, godly goals. And so, in other words, your goal ought not to be, well, I just want to make sure I'm not using drugs. I want to make sure I'm not drinking alcohol. They're negative. You need to turn those around and let's make them more positive, godly in their approach and even in the way that they're stated. And so instead of saying, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to have a goal of, I want to live a sober life. Instead of saying, well, I want to stop using drugs. No, I want to live a clean life, a good life, a full life. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Note those key words in that verse, things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, praiseworthy. I need to think on those things. My goals need to be in line with those things. If I'm thinking that way, that's going to be the way my goals are going to be projected as I reach forward, like the Apostle Paul said. And then I want to be on guard on a daily basis. I'm not going to let the enemy convince me that I'm not going to be able to reach my goals. I'm going to have the mindset, no, I am going to reach my goals. I am going to be victorious. I am going to reach these markers that I placed in my future that I'm reaching towards. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to succeed. And so make sure that your goals are godly. Make sure that they're even worded and stated in a positive fashion, in a godly fashion. And then you need to examine yourself. If you're going to set goals and you think about long-term and short-term goals, you need to know what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. You need to figure out what is it that you enjoy doing with your life when you think about those type of goals. You need to identify your weak areas so you can maybe get more training or get more support in those weak areas to make you stronger. And so examine yourself. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, before we go pointing out sin in somebody else's life, he tells us in those first few verses of Matthew chapter 7 to deal with our own sin first. In fact, he says, get the log out of your own eye. And so examine yourself. You know, deal with any sin, any faults in your own life, but also know what your strengths are. Know what your weaknesses are. Know what it is in your life that you desire as a God-honoring goal, achievement that you can acquire. And then you tell the enemy of doubt and fear to get behind you. I love Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I'm not looking to my own power to achieve these goals, but I'm looking to God. Again, go back to surrender. Surrender everything to God, your dreams, your plans, your life, everything. You give it to Him. You submit it to Him. In Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit yourself first to the Lord to bring Him honor, to bring Him glory. There's our bullseye again. Make sure you're aiming for that in your life, to live out your life in a way to bring honor and glory to God. But then you need to ask yourself, how can I break down that long-range goal into short-term goals, goals that I can reach even right now, that I can begin to live out and even reach today? Allow me to challenge you in setting those short-term goals to make sure you find worthwhile, godly things to do in life every day. You know, reaching out to others, the Bible's clear that we need to show preference to those around us. That means getting our sight off ourselves and reaching out to help those around us that are struggling, that are in need, that need a word of encouragement, that need a helping hand. Those are ways that I honor and glorify God. right now, immediately. That's a short-term goal that I can begin to live out even today. And I can go to bed tonight. If I've reached that goal, I'll know. And I can reach that goal today. And when I lay down and go to sleep tonight, I can have that sense of fulfillment knowing I've reached that short-term goal. I can also begin to rebuild some broken relationships. You know, we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all had junk in our lives that's happened to us and things in our past that we wish were not there. Relationships that have maybe become strained or broken. Maybe we've hurt people around us. You know, right now, today is a short-term goal to bring honor and glory to God. I can go back to those individuals. I can seek their forgiveness. I can try in the power of the Holy Spirit to try to be the godly man that God would have me to be today to heal some of that hurt, that God would use me to heal some of that brokenness that I've been the cause of maybe in the past. And so I can go back and I can mend broken relationships. I can seek forgiveness from those that I've hurt in the past because of my addiction and my lifestyle. That's a God-honoring short-term goal, to bring honor and glory to God. And that's much, much more than just going to somebody that you've hurt, maybe somebody that you've sinned against, and saying, I'm sorry. You know, it may include that. But biblical forgiveness goes much further than that. If I've sinned against someone, I go to them and I say, not only am I sorry, but I sinned against you. And I believe you ought to name it. I've sinned against you and what I said yesterday and what I did last week or whatever that sin may be. But call it what it is. I've sinned against you. And then I ask, would you please forgive me? That's biblical forgiveness. You know, that's a whole lot heavier. That's a whole lot weightier than just saying I'm sorry. Even though you may really sincerely be sorry, you need to ask that person to forgive you. For what? For sinning against them. That's a short-term goal. I can begin to practice that right now. Maybe there's somebody right now today, before you go to bed tonight, before this day ends, that you need to go to, and you need to practice biblical forgiveness. You need to tell them, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? Let's be godly. Let's be biblical in the goals that we set, whether they're long-term or short-term. You know, you need to be smarter in setting your goals. And I use that word smarter because there's a mnemonic for smarter that I've come across and I think is somewhat helpful. I want you just to listen to what these letters represent and how we ought to go about setting our goals. Smarter. S stands for specific. Our goals ought to be specific. That means that a goal needs to be clear, unambiguous. For example, you know, if I'm going to lose, if I want to lose a lot of weight, then I need to say, well, I'm going to lose 5 pounds before the first of next month. That's a short-term goal, but I'm specific in that. M stands for measurable. Ought to be a way that you can measure reaching this goal in order to be able to determine if you're making progress or not. The A stands for attainable. I mean, your goal needs to be realistic. It needs to be achievable. The R stands for relevant. There has to be good reason for achieving the goal. And this is particularly important if it requires input of other people. You know, it's got to be relevant. T stands for timely. You know, it needs to be some type of time frame. And so you've got S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, timely. And then E, evaluate. R, reevaluate. And so you go through setting your goals and working to achieve those goals, but you have to continually, constantly be stepping back, looking at it, evaluating, reevaluating, measuring your progress, and being flexible. You know, you can make your plans, but God may have a whole nother set of plans. And he may step in and change your plans and change your goals, and that's fine. You know, we've got to be flexible before God. We've got to understand, Lord, it's not my will, but it's your will to be done. When things don't work out the way that I want them to work out, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to ask you to give me wisdom, Lord, that I need to redirect my goals and to redirect my aim. And so be flexible before God. Know that he's the one ultimately calling the shots. He's the one that you need in your life more than anyone else. He has the power to empower you to reach and achieve your goals in a godly fashion. Now, I know today there's probably someone, probably more than just someone, listening to this episode today, and you say, you know, I'm disappointed in myself because I have had goals in the past, and I failed in reaching those goals. Maybe it was in your sobriety. Maybe it was in overcoming your drug addiction. Well, I especially want to encourage you today because failure doesn't have to be the last word. In fact, I would say the only real failures in life are those people who give up trying. And so maybe you're listening to this, maybe you've had a recent relapse. Well, you know, you've got one of two things you can do. You can determine today, I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to recover. I'm going to deal with my sin before God and before those I've hurt. And I'm going to get back on track and bring an honor and glory to God. Or you can take the other option, and that is to just surrender to the pool, to the addiction, to the old ways of living. And the end of that road is going to be death and destruction. So my friend, you got to make that choice. You know, all the most successful people in the world who have experienced any degree of success in their lives, there's always been a series of failures that led up to that place of success. In fact, it's not uncommon for those individuals to claim that it was a failure that made them such a success. It just motivated them to do better. You know, failure is not necessarily a bad thing if you learn from that failure, if you're better equipped from that failure. And so get up out of the failure today. Get your sights set back on Christ to bring honor and glory to Him and be determined. I'm going to get back on track today. I want to bring honor and glory to God. In order for me to get there, this is what needs to happen in my life. I want to be clean. I want to be sober. I want to be the man of God. I want to be the woman of God. I want to be involved in a Bible-based support group, folks that can help me, folks that I can help. I want to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I want to surround myself with people that are going in the same direction I'm going in, and that's to bring honor and glory to God. And above all, I'm going to surrender everything, my life, my plans, my future, my dreams to God. I'm going to trust Him one day at a time. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the flesh. I will overcome. I'm going to be victorious over this. And remember this in your life of recovery. Life in recovery is all about progress, not perfection. If you aim for perfection, you're going to be constantly disappointed. Let me pray with you today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, you've been so good to us, so gracious towards us. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we put our faith in Him, you promised in your word that our sins are forgiven. And not only that, but you come to dwell in us. These bodies become your temple, Lord. You dwell in us. We're not just men. We're not just women. We're not just human beings. We've got a supernatural aspect about us. We've got a supernatural power, a supernatural personality within us. That's you living in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I know that many times we're going to fail. I know many times we'll get off track. I know many times we'll disappoint ourselves and disappoint those around us. But, Lord, I know you never fail. Lord God, I know you have all that we need and more to be victorious, not just to reach these short-term goals today, to make sure I'm living life to the fullest, to make sure I'm taking advantage of all that you place before me. Lord, to reach the long-term goal to bring honor and glory to you, you give me the power I need to be victorious. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for an opportunity today for us just to tune in and Lord, to listen to your truth. It's not an unspiritual thing for us to set goals and plans. Lord, we need to have goals and plans, but they need to line up with that long-term goal to bring you honor and glory. I pray for every man and woman, young person listening to this episode today. Lord, you know exactly where we are in our recovery. You know exactly where we are in our relationship with you. You know exactly what we need to do and when we need to do it. I'm praying your Holy Spirit to speak to hearts right now. Maybe somebody right now, maybe they'll be honest and say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I pray they'll cry out in faith right now to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. Bring me into your family. Maybe somebody's struggling. Maybe somebody right now, they're believing all is hopeless. Maybe they're thinking, you know, my life is not worth living. Lord, remind them, you're a God of life, not a God of death. You're a God who has a plan for us. Seasons come and seasons go. Problems come, but problems go. Lord, you're a God who intervenes in our lives at all times. And just because right now we may be in the midst of a problem, that problem's going to leave. That problem didn't come to stay. But Lord God, you've come to stay. Encourage us, Lord. Help us to get our sights back on you. No matter where we're living, whatever we're going through, whatever we're dealing with right now, we confess, Lord, with all our heart, you're God, you're on the throne, you're in control, you have all I need. I'm going to put my faith and trust in you. I'm surrendering my past, my present, and my future, all my dreams, all my goals to you. God, help me to bring honor and glory to God. And we thank you and praise you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless and keep you this coming week. I pray that you'll pray for one another. Don't be inward focused. I want you to be Christ focused. Reach out to those that are hurting and struggling around you. Give somebody a smile. Give somebody a hug. Give somebody an encouraging word. Lift one another up. Pray for one another on this road of recovery as we follow our Lord. Until we meet again, God bless you. Stay faithful. Remember, you don't have to stay who you are. God's got the power to transform. Amen. And amen.